This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, MGM Springfield, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
One more strike to get for Craig Kimbrell to pin it down 2-2. Struck him out. That's the ball game. The Red Sox win it 2-0. A combined shutout, some brilliant pitching in this one, and some key hitting in the 12th inning at last. And the Red Sox win it in 12, TC, 2-0.
Well, that's how it ended at Camden Yards last night. Red Sox 2-0 winners over the Baltimore Orioles. And see, if you're like me, if you're a cynic like me, I looked at that game after 9 innings and I said 2 hours and 40 minutes. Of course they're scoreless. Like, that game was flying from the very beginning. That game was absolutely flying. 2 hours and 40 minutes after 9 innings. And you know what? Nobody could score. So naturally, they end up going 12. The game takes 3:45, but the Red Sox are winners over the Baltimore Orioles. Final score was 2-0 at Camden Yards. But if you are frustrated by the Red Sox offense of late, I don't think that last night did anything to really ease your concerns. So that's where we're going to start tonight. 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, will open up the phone lines right away. And let me just give you one quick piece of news here to tell you that Mookie Betts is not playing tonight. Apparently he is fine. The Red Sox don't want to play him 2 nights in a row, coming off of that injury to his side. So Eduardo Nunez is batting leadoff tonight. Presumably Betts is available to hit in the late innings if they need him to do that, but just something to keep in mind. So again, 617-779-0985. Here's my general question to you tonight, and then I want to sort of carry this into a bigger issue. We'll get to some other things later in the program. And as always, Trivia Tuesday. So the last segment of the program will be devoted to trivia. And you have the chance to win both a $100 gift card to Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill. And you will qualify for a trip to see Boston play New York in September. Round trip train tickets. You'll get tickets to the game. One night hotel stay. So we'll do that later in the program. But first, here's where I want to start. When the Red Sox made their changes during the offseason, they were predicated really on one thing more than anything else, and that was their offense. Okay, when the Red Sox made changes over the winter, both staff and roster, the whole idea was to improve the offense. J.D. Martinez was signed, albeit late. He was signed to a 5-year deal for $110 million that has some opt-outs starting after year two. But nonetheless, the Red Sox recognized that they needed a big bat in the middle of the lineup, so they went out and got J.D. Martinez. The other thing was that they changed the staff. Not just the manager, the staff. And the whole idea was to get more out of the players they had. Okay, that was the idea. That they had talent, untapped talent, on the roster, particularly among the young players, and they had to get that out of those guys. That was the idea. And lest you forget, John Henry himself admitted this early in spring training. We're going to play an exchange for you here in just 1 second between John Henry and Steve Buckley of the Boston Herald about the changes that the Red Sox made and the offense in particular. And before we even play it, let me tell you that, you know what the Murray, you know when we play sound from a basketball practice, it drives you bananas?
Yeah, it's almost unlistenable because all you hear is the squeaking of the shoes and the bouncing of the balls.
Okay. The baseball equivalent of that is
fungos?
No. Spring training, John Henry, and the cameras clicking in the background drives you absolutely bananas. So you're just going to have to suffer through it. But here is what John Henry said early in spring training in his annual State of the Team address.
People have talked about we haven't made a lot of changes from last year, but in my mind, we've made significant changes to address some of the things that were brought up. I do think we had issues last year that that we've addressed those issues.
Vis-a-vis the change in managers, you mean? Or?
Well, we made a lot of changes other than just the manager as well.
Such as?
You haven't noticed that we, I think, who did we bring back? Dana? In case, anyone else?
No, I'm asking what.
Yeah, I'm just saying things. From my perspective at least, we made a lot of changes. I think our approach last year was lacking offensively, and we had issues that the players were already talking about. So I don't really need to talk about it, but I agree with what's been said. But I don't agree with that we haven't really made much in the way of changes. I think these were significant changes.
Okay, so Henry talks about the changes, and again, the culture's part of that. If you remember, we played that for you in spring training, where there was a disconnect between Farrell and the players. That's what he's telling you. The part that should really interest you, at least tonight, is that we made other changes. What was Dana the only one we brought back? He's talking about the coaching staff. And our offensive approach was lacking. Okay, our offensive approach was lacking. We all know the Red Sox finished last in the American League in home runs last year. So now this year, they're up near the top again. That's good. Except that where are the home runs really coming from? 21 of them are J.D. Martinez, whom they signed. That was a roster change. 17 are Mookie Betts. So now Mookie Betts...
And that is a lineup change, Tony, because he was in the three-hole last year and struggled.
Okay, but I would tell you that regardless of where he hit, Jimmy, right, Mookie Betts underachieved last year. Given what he did the year before, Mookie Betts had 31 home runs. Last year, he was in the low 20s.
And if you look at where he batted, that corresponds to his power.
Okay, so he likes the leadoff spot. He doesn't like the middle of the lineup. But nonetheless, Mookie and JD. So Mookie is hit, but we knew that Mookie had it in him because he had it the year before. So they're getting it out of Mookie again. In fact, they're getting more out of Mookie than they got before. And JD Martinez is hit. Other than those two guys, who would you really say has appreciably exceeded expectations for the Red Sox? If you want to say Andrew Benintendi, that's fine. I'll give you Benintendi. Benintendi of late has been really good. And Benintendi is on close to a 30 home run pace. Okay, close. He's not quite there, but close. Last year he was in the low 20s, and so it feels like Benintendi's playing better than he did a year ago. But other than that, Mitch Moreland... Okay, fine, the numbers look good, but in his last 25 games, Moreland has hit .253. Xander Bogaerts, since May 1st, is hitting .229. That's not a small sample. Eduardo Nunez, .249 for the year. He hasn't been the same player. Sandy Leon, .241, and he's been hot lately. Still, .241, is that anything you're going to brag about? Rafael Devers, to me, might be the biggest indictment of all. .231, to me, has been one of the most disappointing offensive players on the team. Christian Vasquez, .203, and he's been hot lately. Vasquez had to get up to .203. And Jackie Bradley Jr., .189, his last seven games, 3-for-23 with 9 strikeouts. So I look at it and say the approach was lacking. Okay, fine. Is it really the approach? So my question is this. Is Tim Hyers, the new hitting coach, getting out of these guys what he's supposed to get? Does this whole launch angle thing with the Red Sox, does it really work? Because, again, the two guys that appear to be making it work are the two best hitters on the team. And they were the two best hitters on the team, in all probability, before Hyers got here. Now, Hanley Ramirez is gone, too, so that's a factor. Nonetheless, Betts hit 31 home runs 2 years ago. J.D. Martinez hit 29 after the training deadline last year. Or are these players not as good as we think they are? Like, to me, I sort of look at it and say, have the staff changes really made a difference in the Red Sox? Dana Lavangi was here already. He's the pitching coach now, but the pitchers have been what we thought they would be. The hitting coach, when you really examine it, other than Betts, and I'll give you Benintendi, which of these guys is really all of a sudden on the kind of tear that that makes last year look like a wild aberration? And I'm not sure any of them do. Okay, so we'll get to your phones. We'll start with your phones here right out of the gate. And then we'll get to some other stuff later in the program. There is news out of the Red Sox bullpen. We'll do all that when we come back. 617-779-0985.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You can ask Joe Kelly. I throw my glove every day playing catch with him. That's part of my warm-up routine is I go through my throwing motion, throw my glove. Actually, usually hold on to it. Sometimes I accidentally release it. I think it's a freak accident. I mean, I think fatigue played a factor in my shoulder, and my shoulders couldn't handle it. I think my shoulder's tired in general. Yeah, it's just from pitching. I mean, and I've thrown a lot lately, and I think my arm was just tired.
I don't agree with it. On a daily basis, we talk to pitchers and how they feel, and if they don't feel they can pitch that day, we stay away from them. So it caught me by surprise, but you know, if he felt that way, he should have told it to us. We should have mentioned it. But actually, there was a day in where was it, New York or Toronto? New York, I think, that we talked, and he said he wasn't available that day, and we stayed away from him.
So that's from a while ago now. I was going to say Stephen Wright. Carson Smith and Alex Cora.
May 17th, Tony.
May 17th, Jimmy Stewart tells me, our producer. Did that go over the air, Jimmy, the May 17th?
Sure.
Well, so there you go. You just can never tell sometimes when you're just talking to me and when you're talking to the world. But beyond that, the reason we play that for you today, it's official. Carson Smith is undergoing surgery, done for the year. We'll have shoulder surgery, lost for the season. Did they specify what the injury was? Have you guys ever seen that anywhere on what it was with Carson Smith? See if you could quickly just Google for me and see what the injury is, whether it's a labrum or rotator cuff. If it's a rotator cuff, he's not going to pitch next year either. I got news for you. What an idiot that guy is. But again, you knew that was coming. Go ahead, Murray.
Some labrum tearing, suspicion of possible anterior damage.
Oh. They'll know when they go in. Oh, geez. Did they say he had the surgery? He's going to have surgery.
He's having it tomorrow.
So we'll know more tomorrow. But in all probability, I bet you he doesn't pitch for him next year. What a knucklehead. Let's get to your calls here. Again, the concern at the moment is the Red Sox offense. Are you worried about it? To me, long-term, I feel like they're going to hit better. I do. Now that Betts is back, although he's not playing tonight, he's back with him in the lineup, they should be fine. The question is whether or not the bottom third of the order, even beyond that now, the bottom four, whether that's become so much of a black hole that the Red Sox have to do something about it, and why can't these guys hit? Why can't they hit? Tom is in Arizona. Go ahead, Tom.
Before I get to Mookie Betts, 195 batting average at Jackie Bradley Jr., just unacceptable.
189. It's down to 189.
Yeah, totally unacceptable. Defensively, great. But on to Betts. So I was at the game on Sunday, and I think it was the seventh inning or the eighth inning. I can't remember. But they pinch hit Nunez for Devers, and I don't understand if Mookie Betts played on Monday healthy for 11 innings, why wouldn't they bring in Mookie Betts with the bases loaded in a one-run game Sunday afternoon?
Well, so, Tom, look, they would have had to activate him before the game. They didn't do that, so once you fail to activate him, you can't put him in. Now, if you're asking why didn't they activate him, I mean, my guess is that they had Monday in mind. You know, he worked out before the game on Sunday, and then they probably gave him treatment, and so they cool him down. Now, are you running the risk of an injury? I don't know. Look, it's a legit question. In the particular Pat you're talking about, Nunez reached on an error. They scored on that play. Okay, so you're not the first person to bring up the fact that they hit for Devers, but Nunez got on base via an error, albeit, but he didn't make an out, right? So you could say that ultimately they got something out of that move. Let's go to Jeffy, who's in Montreal. Go ahead, Jeffy.
Hey, Maz. Thanks for taking the call. I find the Haley move mind-boggling. 2 years ago, this guy had 30 home runs hitting beside Ortiz and Betts. Last year, he had 23 home runs in 133 games. Ortiz retired. I think that affected Betts and his numbers. But still, I mean, those are pretty decent, you know, for a number three hitter. This year, you got a team that's hitting on all cylinders. You got Martinez, you got Betts, you got, you know, Devers. I mean, he's a three-hole hitter. He was tied with Trout with 29 RBIs the day you released him, and you get rid of him for nothing? It just affected the whole team, I think. It's a mind-boggling move. So right now, I think we're reaping the rewards of that. So thanks, Matt.
Yeah, so look, Jeffy, I don't like the move either. I didn't like it at the time. I don't like it now. I don't see how you are a better team in 2018 without Hanley Ramirez. No, look, we have said that there may have been some other issues there. Murray and I think told you last week, or maybe it was the week before, that there were whispers about Hanley, some rumors involving maybe off-the-field stuff. Could be a million things. And I'm not going to get into particulars because, frankly, it would be irresponsible. I just think it's, you know, I don't want to be reckless. If it was a legit off-the-field issue, then fine. No problem. No one would begrudge them that. But from a baseball standpoint, I always feel it's a bad thing for the Red Sox to let a guy go because they don't want to pay him. And in the case of Hanley, it would have been not paying him in 2018. So, I'm sorry, 2019, because he would have vested an option that they don't want to pay next season. They don't want to commit to $22 million. And look, it's not my money. It's a big nut. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Red Sox are stupid for seeing an opening to get out of that option. I just look at it and say they've invested so much in this team. Both in terms of money, they have the highest payroll in club history. They're at about $230 million there. And resources, they've completely stripped the minor league system to acquire players to win championships now. So you've done all of that, and then you get to a point where you say, well, but we're not going to commit $22 million to next year. So even though it's going to hurt us, this season we're going to let Hanley go. And that one just doesn't make sense to me. I don't see where they're a better team in 2018 without Hanley Ramirez. Again, I issue the disclaimer. If there is something off the field that we don't know about, then everything changes. Okay, everything changes. But pure baseball, all the attitude stuff with Hanley, they knew all of that going in. So if they just thought, well, we'll milk what we can get out of him for 2 months and then we'll cut him when Pedroia comes back, fine. They saw their opening, but Pedroia's not coming back either. If you think he is, I think you're on the good ship lollipop. Pedroia's not going to come back and give you anything major. I don't think. I don't see how you could possibly rely on that. And I don't think the Red Sox are relying on it. That's part of the reason they went out and they got Eduardo Nunez again. And part of the reason they kept Brock Holt. They knew that there was a chance Pedroia would hit another snag like this. Mike is in Connecticut, wants to talk about Stephen Wright. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, man. So I just want to have a Stephen Wright thought. So you go through 2016, you got Stephen Wright with a 3.33 ERA. He's pitched 156 innings with a 6.5 innings per nine, okay? And then the asshat that John Farrell is puts him on the bases against the Dodgers, and of course he wrecks his shoulder, okay? And so 2017 is wasted. He comes out this year. I know it's only few games. I think it's like 23, 24 innings. He has like a 1.5 ERA.
He's been great.
I know a knuckleballer is a knuckleballer, but I mean, you got R.A. Dickey winning a Cy Young. You have the Red Sox with a spot in the bullpen that needs a guy in the rotation that needs a guy. What do you think Stephen Wright is going to give to this like pitching staff as we go through the season? Because I feel like he's going to be a guy that if he has what we know he can do, he can be a big spot for us. And one more thing.
Hey, Mike, just quickly. Mike, quickly. How old are you?
Yeah. I'm 24.
Okay. So do you remember Wakefield?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So the reason I ask that, I'm going to let you go. The reason I ask it is because you know what he can give you. Wakefield had great value here. Doesn't mean he's the game one starter in a playoff series. It doesn't mean that you would bring him in to close a game in the playoffs. The playoffs and the knuckleball don't often go together. Sometimes they do. If you remember, in 92, Wakefield, pitching for the Pirates back then, was on an unbelievable run and had a great postseason. He would have been the NLCS MVP if the Pirates had won that thing over the Braves, but they didn't. That said, I don't know if I trust the knuckleball in the playoffs. Now, can Wright help them in the short term or in the regular season? Of course. Absolutely. I personally think the best value in a knuckleballer comes as a starter. And then you use him in other roles along the way. Because in theory, he bounces back a little bit quicker. You need to pitch him on short rest. You need to pitch him between starts. All of that sort of stuff. That's where the real value of a knuckleballer is. Now, look, Wright's going to go bad again. He is. This is what happens with the knuckleball. Most of them end up being 500 pitchers. Because that thing's just hard to harness. His is good, though. He's got a good one. I mean, I don't think that is debatable. So I look at Wright and I say, I like Wright in the rotation. But a caller today raised an interesting question about Steven Wright that I think is worthy of discussion. We will ask that after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So just a quick note of thanks to our listeners on this program. If you remember, I told you last month we had our best April ever on the Baseball Reporters. And we just got the ratings for the month of May, and we had our best May ever. So, in fact, our ratings for May were better than they were in April. So our thanks to our listeners, those of you who are loyal listeners to the program, very much appreciated. It speaks to the passion of the baseball fans in this market, frankly. And the Red Sox have a good team this year. You have a reason to be excited about them. Again, we'll find out whether they're great. That's one of the real questions with this team. To me, that should be like the bumper sticker for the 2018 Red Sox. We know you're good. Can you be great? That's the question. And to me, now you look at this offense, and they are scuffling a little bit. And I told you some of the numbers. Some of these guys, and these are the guys who really will provide the depth in the lineup. Eduardo Nunez, 249. Xander Bogaerts, since May 1st, 229. In 37 games, 229. Rafael Devers all year, 231. Jackie Bradley, 189. His last seven games, he's dipped again. 3-for-23, 9 strikeouts. Bradley and Bogaerts, to me, along with Devers, but Bradley and Bogaerts, because they're more veteran players, are, other than the you know, Martinez, Betts, Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley are the biggest reasons this lineup all of a sudden looks shallow. If those guys hit, you're fine. You can carry a bad catcher. You can even carry Rafael Devers. But you cannot do that if Bogaerts and Bradley are hitting combined around 200, which is what they've really been for the last month plus. Combined. Not good enough. We'll get back to your calls, and then again, final segment of the program today. We'll do Trivia Tuesday and see if we can give something away, something good. Joe is in a car. Joe, what do you got?
Yeah, just like you with J.D. Martinez and his film study, I'm so sick of everyone talking about Blake Swihart, and I know you're one of those guys, but I'm looking at his average. He's hitting, what, 154 or something like that?
156.
He's not good at any position, and he's not good at the plate in any way. So I know that, like, they're trying to get value and everything, but I'm a Brock Holt guy, and Brock Holt's hitting 298. He actually just dropped below 300 last night. I know he's not a 300 hitter for a season, but for everyone to say, oh, get rid of Brock Holt, he sucks, why is he here? But then they say, oh, play Blake Swihart more. He has potential. No, he doesn't. Blake Swihart has zero potential, and Brock Holt can at least play the field a little bit. He's not great on D, but he can at least play a little bit. Blake Swihart, enough with that. He blows, and he's never going to be anything.
So, Joe, listen, I have a hard time disagreeing with you. I like Swihart. I liked him when he came up. I thought Swihart showed potential. Again, I still have the memory, and it was a long time ago now, but I still have the memory in my head of the home run he hit at Citi Field in New York. Thing was a bomb, and I like the way Swihart sprayed the ball around as a rookie. He had 274 that year. He showed some power. And I thought, okay, here you go. You got something with this kid. And I've said this before, but, you know, he sort of reminded me a little bit, if you remember, B.J. Surhoff with the Orioles. That, to me, is what Swihart could have been. It's sort of a guy who might be able to play multiple positions with some real gap power and, you know, not be a 35-40 home run guy, but hit a ton of doubles and maybe get you 20 homers. I thought Swihart had value, and I think they ruined him. I do. I think they screwed him up. Now, I still believe that he can hit. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. But I can't sit here and justify it anymore when he's hitting a buck 56. So you have right to be frustrated with that one. No complaints. Mike is in Norwood. Mike, go.
Oh, with Steven Wright pitching well, he threw a gem the other night. Is it time to finally put him in the rotation for one of the struggling starters like Price or Porcello?
Well, so has Price really been struggling of late? And Porcello's been overall been pretty good. You going to really put him in the rotation over those guys?
Well, I think that they've been inconsistent. Wright's been pretty good, and I think it's time to give him a chance again. He pitched well, what was it, 2 years ago, hurt his shoulder, but I think it's time to put him in.
Okay, so look, you don't have to take those guys out to do it. I mean, he's got Pomeranz's spot right now. That's what I should have said first. But the reality is that Wright's in there. Wright's in there. Pomeranz has lost the job. When Pomeranz is ready to pitch again, if Steven Wright is pitching well, Pomeranz has nowhere to go. He has nowhere to go. Eduardo Rodriguez overall has been fine. He's been good. He just throws too many pitches, but they've won when Eduardo Rodriguez has pitched. In fact, the record in Rodriguez games this year is something ridiculous. Isn't it like 10-1, 11-1 or something when Eduardo Rodriguez has pitched this year? I'll give you the exact number here in a minute. But then the other guys, Price 6-0 his last six starts. The team is, he's 5-0. Porcello's been, for the most part, what you'd expect him to be. I'm not taking him out. And what are you going to do, pull sail? Pomeranz is going to the bullpen. Wright's in there. Cody's in Medford. Go ahead, Cody.
Hey, Tony. One thing I've noticed is I think in prior years, the Sox have been a lot more patient at the plate. And then this year, didn't Alex Cora say at the beginning of the year that he wanted them to be a little more aggressive?
Yes.
And I'm wondering if teams have started to adjust to that and knowing that the Sox can be a little more aggressive and now they're playing that into their game plan and getting more strikeouts as a result. And that's why the batting averages are struggling right now.
Yeah, so Cody, look, that is, it's a possibility. I mean, eventually the game is a game of adjustments. And all of a sudden when teams detect a pattern, they will adjust accordingly, and then it's up to you to do the same. Now, look, the White Sox guys that we saw over the weekend, I thought Chicago actually showed some pretty good pitching there. That team does have some promise. I don't know if they're going to be the Astros in 3 years, but they have some promise there in Chicago. They're improving. Again, I would watch them in the final couple of months and see what they look like. But this, to me, speaks to Bogaerts and Bradley. These guys don't feel to me like they can make adjustments and become better players. I think that is problematic. So I put the fact that the Red Sox lineup is shallow, a big part of that to me is on Bogaerts and Bradley. Those are the guys that should be able to fill out your lineup. Sarah's in Norwood. Sarah, go.
Hi. Why does J.D. Martinez have his initials and his last name on his jersey? Seems odd.
Okay, so Sarah, apparently, and I didn't know this either, it's not something I pay attention to. Last year in Detroit, Victor Martinez was on the team. So rather than put J. Martinez, he put J.D. He opted to have that on there, and I guess he likes it. Maybe superstitious. He's elected to keep it on his jersey. Okay, so that's your answer on the J.D. Martinez thing, as opposed to just Martinez, because there is no other Martinez on the Red Sox. Okay, Tuesday, you know what that means, Murray, right?
Trivia Tuesday.
Jimmy Stewart, you know what Tuesdays are? Last 10 minutes?
My favorite time.
Or last segment? Right now, the first five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, and that is 617-931-0985. You'll have the chance to participate in Trivia Tuesday. If you answer three baseball questions correctly, you'll get a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you'll automatically be entered for an overnight trip to see Boston play in New York in September. We'll give you the train tickets. We'll give you game tickets, one-night hotel stay, etc. It's a nice little trip. So again, you'll get the Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill gift card, $100, and you'll get entered into the drawing. It is a max of five contestants per week. Okay, so if you come on, you miss, we go to the next person. If we go through five people without anybody answering three in a row, nobody wins. We go to next week. We have had a bunch of winners, though, already. I've had to dumb down the questions because, frankly, a lot of you don't know the stuff that I do. That's okay. It's more of what's the right word? It's more of an indication of your age than it is your knowledge. So we try to make the questions relatively recent. We'll do that next.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters. supporters. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on the Baseball
Trivia
Reporter.
Tuesday.
This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
All right, you know how the drill. This is how it goes every Tuesday. Last part of the show, we see how much or how little, usually the latter, followers of the Red Sox know with regard to recent history of the team. And as you go along, the questions might get a little more difficult, but if you can answer three in a row correctly, you will get a Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill gift card for $100, and you will be entered into a drawing at the end of the year to go see Boston play New York in New York, round-trip train tickets for two, game tickets for two, one-night stay at a hotel. But you got to get three questions in a row. As soon as you make a mistake, you're out. We take five contestants max based on the order that you call. Okay, so again, 617-931-0985. That is the contest line. We kick it off tonight with John and Lowell. John, you there?
Yes, I am. How's it going?
Good, good. So here you go. So Billy Lanny has been kind enough to, Billy Behind the Glass, has been kind enough to record the questions for us. So John and Lowell, here is your first question this week.
Before David Ortiz joined the Red Sox, he became a free agent when this team failed to tender him a contract. Which team released David Ortiz?
You hear that, John? Go.
Oh, God, I don't know this. The Tigers?
You don't know which team released David Ortiz? I dropped him. I dropped him before the buzzer. Don't answer it. I'm assuming you know, Murray?
Yeah, I know it.
Okay.
I feel like everybody should know this.
I mean, that's an easy question, right?
Yeah, that's a gimme.
Matt, our intern, do you know the answer to that? You do? How old are you, like 20? 22. And you knew. Okay. So we'll go to the next caller. Vic in Westford, you get a different question than the last guy, but your first question again comes courtesy of Billy Lanny.
Current Red Sox president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, joined the Red Sox almost 3 years ago when he replaced then-general manager Ben Sherrington. What team did Dave Dombrowski work for before he took over the Red Sox baseball operation?
Okay, you got that, Vic?
Tigers.
Hey, very good. All right, there we go. We got one right. Detroit Tigers is correct. Dombrowski came to the Red Sox from the Detroit Tigers. Okay, let's go to the next one, Billy.
If you get this question wrong, you get a knuckle sandwich. Which pitcher ranks number one all-time in innings pitched for the franchise?
Okay, Vic, which Red Sox pitcher ranks number one all-time in innings pitched?
Pedro?
He didn't listen to the question. Incorrect. He said Pedro. Did you listen to the question, Murray?
No, I would have said the same thing.
Okay. Again, the question is, if you get this question wrong, you get a knuckle sandwich. Which pitcher ranks number one all-time in innings pitched for the franchise?
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay? My God. It's like... can we make them any easier? Billy, you didn't like the... Billy didn't like the way that I framed that question because he thought it was too easy. Billy, is that correct?
No, I would have said Pedro, too, because I'm like half paying attention to the callers. So.
Okay, but that's for a different reason, Murray. Good God. Mike is in Weymouth. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, can I please have those first two questions?
Okay, so Jimmy, we got to go back to the first group now. Here is your first question, Mike, courtesy of Billy Lanny.
After Theo Epstein resigned as general manager following the 2005 season, the Red Sox executed a major trade that brought right-hander Josh Beckett and third baseman Mike Lowell to Boston from the then Florida Marlins. In exchange, the Red Sox sent a package of young players built around this super prospect. Who was he?
Okay, Mike, you got that? The deal that they... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that would have been Hanley Ramirez.
Hanley Ramirez is correct. Very good. There you go. That wasn't so tough, was it? Again, they're really not that hard, folks. Listen to the questions, and generally speaking, most answers are going to be in the last 15 years. Most. Not all. The later you go into the contest, the harder we make the questions. Okay, second question from Mike and Weymouth. Go ahead, Billy.
If you get this question wrong, you get a knuckle sandwich.
No, 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 no. Stop that, but we just asked that one.
Yeah, give him that one, too.
Yeah, no, no. Mike, stay right there. Go ahead. Play the question, Jimmy.
Spell Benintendi.
Okay, so there you go. Okay, Mike, spell Benintendi.
Okay, capital B, E-N-T, Bentendi.
Incorrect. Incorrect. We're going to let him go. Bent. He said Bent, right?
He put an I where there should have been an E.
He said Bent. Bentendi?
Oh, either way.
Oh, God. He wasn't even close, Murray. Good God. This is from the guy who doesn't recycle. Okay, we're going to, this is our fourth contestant, Jimmy. We got two more left to see if we can get a winner.
We won't.
Suddenly, I'm not optimistic. All right, here we go. Jeremy's in Duxbury. Go ahead, Jimmy. Play the question, courtesy of Billy.
What was David Ortiz's nickname?
You got that one, Jeremy?
Yeah, Big Poppy.
There you go. Very good. Yes, Big Poppy was David Ortiz's nickname. That brings you to the second of possibly three questions. Billy Lanny, fire away.
Ted Williams was the last man to hit 400. What was Williams' average in 1941?
Okay, Jeremy, I don't know if you know this, but you should.
Yeah, 406.
406, very good. I was worried about that one. I thought that might have been a little too... You should know it. It's only like one of the most famous numbers in baseball history. All right, in order to win, this is for the win now, Jeremy. Don't choke. Jimmy, Billy, go ahead.
Who played the most opening day games for the Red Sox?
Okay, Jeremy, there you go. And I'm going to... I'll give you a little hint. Okay, most opening day games for the Red Sox. I'm reluctant to give you too many hints.
Don't give him a hint.
Okay, but you should be thinking about the greatest players in Red Sox history.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Yaz.
Yaz is correct. Very good. There you go. Jeremy and Duxbury, stay on hold. We'll put you there. We'll get you information. He wins a $100 gift card to Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill. And he will be entered for a drawing to win a trip to see Boston play New York in the month of September. Yaz is the right answer.
What hint were you going to give?
What's that?
What hint were you going to give?
Well, I gave him one. You didn't even hear it.
No, he didn't.
Yes, I did. I said you should be thinking about the greatest players in club history.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, that's pretty vague.
Well, it really comes down to two guys, Murray. I mean, it's either Ted Williams or Yaz. It's one of those two. And it was Yaz because he played until he was like 50.
They've retired a lot of numbers.
Yeah. So in any case, there you go. Adam Jones coming up here, top of the hour. What do you got, Pac-Man?
Were you trying to read your sponsor there or no?
No.
Are you already done? We're okay. Good. Sorry. Yes. Yes, yes. I don't think that was much of a hint either, by the way.
Thank you.
One of the greatest players in Red Sox history. Could have been Ortiz.
Most games ever? What are you, stupid?
It could have been Ortiz.
No.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.